In order to keep bringing you guys tons of free content, we work with brand partners who you'll hear from in this episode, including an advertisement from Zopa Bank. Welcome back to the Talk 20s podcast, the podcast that will help you figure out your life. Today, we are joined by Callum Carver, a 20-year-old self-made entrepreneur. Callum is the founder of The Kaizen, a newsletter which helps unleash the potential of the next generation. We chat about what it takes to be an entrepreneur, the risks and the secret to making people consume what you produce. Whether you're a fan of Callum, The Kaizen, or just a young, ambitious person, we are so excited for you to dive into this episode. But before we do, please hit that subscribe or follow button so you never miss an episode. A quick note from our sponsors, Zopa Bank, who are here to help you with your personal finance in the Zopa app. Zopa have a For You section on their app that gives you helpful, personalized insights like reviewing your subscriptions, checking for cheaper broadband and energy bills. The first thing that you need to do is link your accounts using Open Banking. Once your accounts are connected, the available data will let Zopa understand your finances and give you personalized insights. It will also analyze your credit file and check your Zopa eligibility. Best of all, it's all free and at your fingertips always, so you can make sure you're making the best, most informed choice with your money 24/7. Download the Zopa app now to find out more. So, Callum, we're starting something new on the podcast, and we're starting with you, actually. And I think it's a little bit crazy because you're actually only 20 yourself. Like, that blows my mind, absolutely blows my mind, because the wisdom that comes out of your mouth on socials and all these kind of things are amazing. But there is an idea that, like, lots of people talk about, that the person you are at 20 is completely different to the person you'll end up with, end up as 30. Like, everyone says that about their 20s, right? So we're going to try a little thing today, and it's all about where you were this time last year. So I'd love if you could scroll back or think back to where you were last, well, we're recording this in November 2023, and tell us a little bit more about what you were doing November 2022.
Okay, cool. So I remember quite specifically, because this was quite like a milestone in my journey. A year ago today, I think it was actually 10th of November was when I moved out into my first apartment.
Okay.
So that was when I moved away from my family home down the south of the UK, all the way up north to Manchester with my girlfriend, which was like the biggest change for me, because it was like it was a milestone that I'd hit, because it meant I had the finances, I was mature enough, I was like independent and responsible enough to do so. I think it was just quite a momentum for what I'd built up the previous sort of like 6-7 months, or actually a year and a half doing content, but 6 and 7 months doing the running the agency that I had. And it was almost like I was able to kind of cash out on what I did a bit. And that was, yeah, that was a year ago today, or a year ago, a few weeks back. So yeah, I remember it quite vividly.
Most people move out for the first time and go to university, but you didn't. Why not?
I didn't, no. So the reason I didn't go to university was because I kind of created my plan before I had to make the decision. So I remember at the end of college, I had the pressure of like, right, you've got to do something, either university or an apprenticeship or a job or something like that. And I was quite lucky because I kind of kicked my ass into gear a bit before then. And that's when I started this sort of like these online side hustles and stuff like that, which meant that by the time everyone was going to uni, I was able to kind of make my own decision. I was able to say, no, I'm not doing that. And then kind of pursued what I was doing, which I'm very thankful that I kind of did kick my ass into gear a few months prior.
What prompted that, by the way? Like, you know, that whole kicking your ass into gear.
What was that?
What prompted it? Like, what made you want to do that? Like,
I don't...
Doesn't happen to a lot of probably 17, 18-year-olds.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could remember the exact thing that kind of like woke me up. And I was like, oh my God, this makes so much sense. But I think it was a bit of an accumulation of different bits and bobs. I remember the first, like... it all started with finance books. And I remember I got like a list of finance books off TikTok or something, started reading the likes of like Rich Dad, Poor Dad and stuff like that. It is. And it like, that opened my eyes a little bit. And I was like, oh my gosh, it makes so much sense how there's like these different classes in the world and that kind of thing. And I think from there, it was just the idea of freedom. I wasn't interested in anything to do with university. At school, I studied topics and subjects that I only did because I was remotely interested in them and I know I could get past, which was the likes of like media and photography and stuff. So it was nothing that I was really interested in, however psychology was. And then at that point, when people started going to university, I knew that it wasn't the path for me just because I had no interest. And I was like, I'm either going to waste 2 to 3 years of my life doing this, or... You know, I kind of put myself in a position where I don't have a plan B, because university, you kind of have that. University is almost like your safety net. You can do anything on top and you can kind of fall back into that routine of, you know, you kind of are people are still telling you what to do. You know, you have lectures to go to, you have a course to study and that kind of thing. Whereas not doing that, you don't really have anything to fall back on. It's like, it's all you now. It's your decision. You've got to kind of make the next step. Yeah, exactly.
And were you academic at all? Like, could academics have been an option for you? Or
no,
like,
not really. No. I passed with like C's, so it was nothing crazy. I was all right at psychology, which kind of makes sense
for what you do now.
Yeah. I love psychology, but it was like media and photography. I took them because I was like, this is going to be easy. Taking photos and videos, easy.
Yeah.
It wasn't that. It's like, you have to just like write a lot. I took them because I was like, this is going to be quite a fast pass to get the grades I need to and then get out. Because obviously before you finish college and do your A-level, you don't have a choice. It's something you have to do. So I kind of tried to take the easy route because I wasn't academic. There was nothing that like sparked my interest enough to like pursue a certain subject.
Mm-hmm. So anyone that's tuning in now who's not heard of you or seen you on TikTok or Instagram or any social media platform, what do they need to know about Callum Carver?
Okay, so the way I kind of like introduce myself is that I'm a 20-year-old. I'm like a self-made entrepreneur, I guess, that started my journey, I think it was probably about 2.5 years ago now, almost 3 years ago, creating content on TikTok. That was it. I got interested in the likes of finance and stuff like that. And I was like, I'm just going to make videos on investing. Originally, I started making content for affiliate marketing. So I was like, I'll make a bit of pocket money online. That worked a little bit and then failed. And it meant I had to pivot. Now I had like a taste for what it meant to make money online and do something for yourself. And at that point, I had to pivot to, you know, new things, social media management and that kind of thing. So yeah, I'm an entrepreneur, makes content on social media, TikTok, the likes of YouTube and stuff like that. I've grew my agency to quite a considerable amount, started coaching on that agency. And now I'm focusing on running the Kaizen, which is like a newsletter for young aspirational entrepreneurs and stuff like that. So that's the kind of like summary of me.
We're going to go a little bit more into the Kaizen later in the episode, but I really want to understand when you started doing something that was different to the norm of your friends. So like everyone else was applying to go to university and you were going, nope, I'm going to go in this direction. Yeah. I'm going to start creating content. I'm going to become an entrepreneur. I'm going to do all these different things. What did the people around you say?
So it's interesting. I mean, you do have some people... I wouldn't say people didn't like support me because they did. I mean, my parents were so supportive, which I'm so thankful for. My core friends were supportive, but you have that kind of wider group of friends. And I still remember the day when my cringy TikTok video got chucked in the group chat. And then I was like rinsed and I was known as like TikTok boy and stuff like that. But I feel like that's a stage you have to go through. You have to go through that period of like, this is embarrassing. This is cringe what you're doing. Because if you don't, you don't get to the other side. You know, you can look at the greatest in the world who have done it. And I'm sure when they started, they were made fun of and stuff like that. And that just always stayed in the back of my mind that it's a step that I have to go for. I have to climb this mountain to get on the other side. For the most part, everyone was quite supportive. You did have the few people that would make fun of you and stuff like that. But I was quite like mentally strong to the point where I was like, it doesn't matter. Mm. You know, the people that support me are the people that I'm still going to have as friends 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line. So I was quite like okay with it. And I feel that's a bit of a mental barrier that a lot of people have to cross when they start creating content and stuff like that. It's like, oh God. I mean, if I look back to my old TikTok videos now, I cringe. I turn them off.
I watched a video of your, which had it in, and it's like showing different books and stuff that.
My first
everyone
video.
Everyone starts somewhere.
Like, 100%. And like my first few videos, I couldn't talk to a camera.
Yeah.
I had like an afro because it was like just coming out of lockdown. It was awful. Like looking back at it now, I hate it, but it's good because I can kind of look back and say, that was me when I started. Look to where I am now. And I'm glad I did, obviously, because that first like creating content, put myself outside my comfort zone there is what like kind of push the snowball down the hill, which create the avalanche and stuff like that to where I am now. So I couldn't be more thankful.
Have you had any of your friends now say that what you're doing is like really cool, who you know used to think it was super cringy? Because that's happened to me now.
Yeah, I won't name any names, but 100%. You know, I feel like happens for a lot of people. First, it's cringy, it's embarrassing, you make fun of. And then when you've done something quite remarkable, it's like, you know what, I've been thinking of doing something similar to you.
So I get that message
and
as
I'm
well.
Like, oh, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. That. And it's like, you know, you'll have some kind of people that are like, they want to be entrepreneurs. They talk about being an entrepreneur and stuff like that. And that's what I had a lot as well. It's like people like, I'm going to do this and stuff like that. Do it then. But it's not the right time. You know, I'm going to wait till after this. I'll wait till this. And there's a very like distinct kind of result that those people get from what they're doing. But yeah, you always have those like people that kind of turn and then turn back around. Oh, that's actually really cool. Which is interesting, but you know, it's part of it. So
be interested to know your perspective. What do you think makes an entrepreneur?
What do I think makes an okay, I would say, so I did a talk in Belfast like not too long ago about like what I think makes an entrepreneur or think makes someone successful.
Yeah.
And the things that I kind of pointed out was, number one, having a contrarian idea. So having an idea that's like different from the masses.
Okay.
Something that makes you stand out, something that's just not in line with everyone else. Being right about that idea, right? But you don't actually know about that until you execute on it. So it's having the idea, executing on it, and then being right. That's like an entrepreneur.
Okay.
I mean, you can break it down to the attributes and be like, it's risk. It's like, it's being creative. It's, I'm trying to think of any more. I think risk is like a massive one, because you almost have to have an unwavering belief in your own abilities. You have to, it almost has to be like a bit delusional. Like, I'm going to achieve this. No, you're not. Like, regardless of the noise that you hear, it is like full faith and belief in yourself, which you don't get, because unless you have proof that you have achieved something, that's the hardest thing to have.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of having that, that almost delusional belief until you do make it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I guess it's those little moments that kind of add up together that you go, it's like layering, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's like stacking of like, I've got evidence to suggest that I had this really big goal, but I went out and achieved this. And so, I think I've got this new big goal now. If I've done all these things before, I can do that.
Like, the hard bit is just getting started, because you don't have that proof. But, everyone has to kind of create that proof for themselves without having it in the first place. Mm-hmm. And that's just something I think to remember, because a lot of people are scared, because they're like, I couldn't do this. I'm not good at this and that kind of stuff. I still don't know what I'm doing all the time. To be honest, I'm winging it the majority of the time, but I just know, because I have a bit of proof that what I've winged in the past has worked, I'll continue to wing it and just see what kind of comes out of it.
Mm-hmm. You're a 20-year-old and you've only really had one job working in Dunelm. We had this discussion when we went for a coffee beforehand. Why does working for someone else like not appeal to you at all?
I think the thing that stood out to me was the freedom aspect.
Yeah.
I hated the idea of like waking up and then being under someone else's thumb. You have to do this at this time. And that's something I didn't really like too much through school. I didn't mind it, because there's not any way to get out of it. But that's why I was so adverse from university. I was like, I don't want to be the kind of person that has to wake up at a certain time, has to go to lectures at a certain time, has to complete a certain bit of homework, whatever it is, or coursework by a certain date. And I think that kind of follows into the job as well, being told what to do and some of that. And I just wasn't a fan of it. I knew there was no growth potential and stuff like that. I think that was it, really. It was just the idea of that I'm capped. I can see the ceiling when you're working a part-time job, and I know I can't get past it. Whereas doing your own thing, the sky's the limit, as they say, right? But like, you're in control of how high you go, which is something that appealed to me.
So what does your day look like? Like, your day-to-day look like now?
Oh, my day-to-day. So I try and wake up like as early as possible. I'm quite consistent with it in a good way. So it's like 7 a.m. is like probably the average of when I wake up. And to be honest, it is like 7 a.m. and then work. Like, that's, I mean, I love to work. So it's kind of what I do all day, but it splits into different things. So everyone calls in my team, or I'm scripting and stuff like that, because I'm kind of running a few different things that all complement each other. Mm-hmm. So it is wake up, work, and then like wind down in the evening with my girlfriend. That is like pretty much it. Mm-hmm. And then obviously things like this coming up to Liverpool, this is what I consider work as well, but it's like a good little holiday, to like get away from everything.
And what do you do for fun?
What do I do for fun? Work more. No, I do MMA, which is like a combat sport. That's something that I've been doing for a while now. And it's something that I think has contributed to a lot of my discipline and control and confidence and stuff like that. That's something I love to do. And then other bits of fun and stuff like that, it is really just, God, I sound really boring now. It, like, work is what I consider fun, because I'm like, I know I'm progressing to something bigger than myself. I mean, a lot of people see work and they're like, forced to wake up at a certain time, forced to go into a job and stuff like that. But when you're doing it and you're in control of your own work, it's almost just like you're building a project. It's like you're playing a game kind of thing. I'm building like my empire, and it's like, it's a game every single day. So that's what I kind of consider fun, I guess. It sounds really sad now me saying that.
But I kind of get what you're saying. And I think many people who are on similar paths to you or I will kind of get it in that. What I find really hard now is switching off, because essentially my hobby became my job.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I was obviously where I did more jobs than you before I kind of got started into entrepreneurship as a teacher, and then I worked in the event industry. But this was what I used to do on the side because I thought it was, it's like a side hustle, or it could be a business, and it was something I wanted to see in the world. But ultimately I found it fun, otherwise I wouldn't have done it. But then that became my full-time job. So it's like, recently I've been really struggling to kind of find what it is that I do that is for me, that isn't for the business, because the business is obviously now, but it is a job. Like, I have employees and all those kinds of things, but it's like now finding like what it is for me. And I like, whilst you've got like MMA, like, I used to dance when I was younger. Yeah. I enjoy a bit of baking, but I can't be making brownies every single day because I'll just won't be able to fit on this chair. So I've been really trying to find that thing that like I enjoy doing that is kind of just for me, that isn't for the business. And I must admit, I found it hard, which is why I find that sometimes the balance is off for me. Do you ever get that?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I think there's a bit of pressure that you have to find something that is not work-related because you have to find something to wind down and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's completely on a person-by-person basis. You know, there's people that, the people that say you have to wind down, you have to find kind of like an out from work and stuff like that. There's people that don't really enjoy what they're doing too much and therefore they want to escape. You know, you only don't want to work if you're not the biggest fan of it or you're working for someone else and that kind of stuff. When you're building your own thing, it's just like, I say it's a game, like it doesn't, you don't turn off really. I mean, you're always switched on, whether it's first thing in the morning or last thing at night. It's the last thought before you go to sleep and the first thing that you think about when you wake up. Mm-hmm. And that's reality. But I don't think it's anything to be like ashamed of or think like you're a workaholic or anything, because it is, you are creating your future, like building block by building block. That's kind of the way I see it.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the money side of things then, because a lot of young people tuning in will go, I want to make a lot of money when I grow up.
Yeah.
How do you make a lot of money?
How do you make a lot of money? Solve problems. That's the thing that's always really stuck with me. And it sounds so like plain and vague. And that's why people don't really take advantage of it, because they're like, find a problem to solve and then create a solution to that problem, monetize a solution. That is like how all businesses are created. Mm-hmm. Whether it's like your Amazon or like the studio that we're in now, you know, you had a problem where you needed to record somewhere, they solved the problem. And it's a business therefore. So every business is solving a problem. Sometimes the problem's massive, sometimes it's really complicated. But for someone getting started, it can be as simple as a company wanting to grow on social media and you solve that problem by posting on social media for them. That's how I got started myself. And then, you know, I say money kind of comes. It doesn't that easily, but that's the kind of idea. As long as you are solving problems or you're focused on finding problems that you can solve, then I think everything kind of just like figures itself out.
Mm-hmm. 20K months. That's what a lot of young people would want to hear.
Yeah.
You know, I've managed to earn £20,000 a month. Some people in their early 20s at age 20 earn that in a year.
Yeah.
You know, if, you know, how on earth do you get to that point? Because you're only 20 yourself.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm still winging it. I have no idea.
Yeah.
How do I get to that point? I think it's constantly adapting. I mean, if I look back through my journey, I started off with affiliate marketing, which didn't really have any potential. I then did social media management, which had a bit more, but again, that didn't go as well as I thought it would. I then constantly adapted to what I thought the next big thing was and what I thought I could take advantage of. And then I found my agency, which is what really kicked everything off. So I was doing social media management. I sort of thought, what skills do I have that I can kind of like makes me stand out from other people?
Yeah.
And that was the fact that I made content. So I was like, I'm an influencer myself. Therefore, I kind of like know the world of an influencer. I know how they think and that kind of stuff. And I thought, I'm good with social media. I'm an influencer. I talked to companies before with like social media management and stuff. And I was like, let's just put this together. And I figured out a problem that companies had and then solved it. That was how everything kicked off. And then from there, I had that skill of like influencer marketing. And I thought, how about I sell it in two ways? So instead of just selling it to a company as a service, I thought, how about I teach other people how to do it as well? It's the same. It's the same skill. I'm just kind of like breaking it into two, other side of the coin, and selling that as well, which was the coaching that I had. And that was kind of like the thing that scaled everything, my agency plus coaching. And then when you're teaching the thing that you're doing, it makes you better at the thing you were doing. And they just kind of kept complimenting each other. And that's how I got to that point. And that was actually around November last year as well when I hit that milestone. So I probably should have said that as the year ago today.
Yeah.
But I mean, I wish I had like a roadmap that I could just read off step one, step two, step three, but there is never a step one, step two, step three. It is just kind of, it all happens in a blink of an eye. You know, it was like, when I made that amount of money, when I hit that milestone, it felt like a few months ago, I was still working at Dunham, which I think actually was. I can't remember now. But yeah, it all happens very, very quickly once you kind of put things into place.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you said you like working 24/7. Like realistically, like how many hours a day are you kind of, do I want to know the answer to this?
Or
do our audience want to know the answer?
How many hours a day? All I'll say is my Google Calendar is full. Like I'm quite meticulous with how I schedule out my days. I feel like if I don't schedule them out, I'm lost. If I have like a big gap of just like nothing, I have no idea what I'm doing. So I schedule out like quite specifically.
So like time blocking.
Yeah, time blocking is actually using like the Parkinson's law and stuff like that. So I'm completing tasks. But they're like all day, most days, they are blocked out with things that I'm doing. Even like the train to get up here, I had like six tasks I had to complete. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm kind of like switching all the time, but working at a desk, it is for the majority of the day. And some people see that's sad, that's fair enough. But it, like, again, I go back to the point that that's what I want to do. That's like, I think Alex Hormozy covers this very well because he works like ridiculous days, literally like 16, 15 hours a day. And people look at him and he said that his like relatives would like say, oh, I would hate to do that. And he's like, well, I would hate to live your life. I love my life and this is what I like to do. And it's that kind of idea. And to some, a lot of people, it would be like, that's not life. You know, you're working, but I'm putting the hours in now so that I can cash out earlier on than a lot of people. That's the kind of idea. I mean, I don't plan to work forever. I plan to build up my empire and then, see, I say this, but when I want to cash out, I'm going to be bored.
That's what I was going to say. So are you going to like, are you actually going to be able to switch off when you get to where, wherever it is you're going to?
I think that's a bridge I'm going to have to cross when I get to it.
Let's take a quick pause for a second. If you're an OG listener of the podcast, you'll know I haven't always had the easiest ride with my mental health in my 20s. Our newest paid partner, BetterHelp, which gives you access to online therapists, is something that's helped me immensely. With BetterHelp, you can have your therapy sessions as a phone call, a video chat, or even via messaging if you prefer that. Whatever is the most comfortable version of therapy for you. To get started, you fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then you'll get matched with a therapist, in most cases within 48 hours or less. You'll then be able to schedule therapy sessions at a time that's convenient for you. Click the link in the description or visit betterhelp.com/talk20s, and that link will also get you 10% off your first month too. Because I think what people would say here, and devil's advocate would say, is that like, we're very much like, we talk about a lot of different things about life in your 20s, and a lot of people that come on are from like a self-development background, and that's exactly what I describe you as. And I definitely believe in self-development and trying to constantly improve yourself, but I do sometimes wonder if it ever gets into like toxic territory where it's like you're got a set of tasks and to-do lists and it goes and goes and goes and you never really ever get, your to-do list is never done. You're always trying to strive for like a new goal. Do you ever just like feel that like sometimes it can be a bit like too much? Like, what happens if you have a bad day?
Yeah, no, this is, it's so true. I mean, there is a toxic side to it because there's a side where you don't give yourself any kind of reward. It's a side where you are constantly running on the treadmill that you don't step off and see how far you've run, kind of thing. And that's, it's something that I'm still kind of like trying to figure out. I wouldn't say battling because it's not like an illness or anything, but it's something that I'm trying to figure out. At what point do I look back and say, cool, I can have a rest now? It's the same thing where people saying like, I want to retire at this age. I probably don't think I'm going to retire because I like doing what I'm doing. But yeah, I wish I had a solution to it, but I haven't got to the point where it's become very serious enough where I have to look back and say, right, this is just like stressing me out mentally and it's all going wrong and stuff like that. So there is a point, I think, where you have to reward yourself with the small wins. I think that's helped him quite a lot because it also creates like a cognitive loop in your brain where if you do something, you succeed in that thing, no matter how small it is, reading a book, and then you reward yourself for it, however you may do that. And then your brain is almost like wired to want to do that thing again because you're giving yourself those wins. And that's something that Stephen Butler talks a lot about. It's like giving yourself the small wins. That helps you out a lot because it means that you can kind of like create little milestones for yourself, which is something that's helped me. But then it comes into how do you reward yourself and stuff like that, which I haven't quite figured out yet. So I'm still working. We'll do this podcast in like a few years' time when I've got the answer and I'll be like, this is it.
Well, let's talk through the Project Kaizen then, because I think it's really interesting what you've put together. It's a challenge that you've, that is 100 days long and it's for ambitious young, young ambitious minds. Can you talk us through the process of Project Kaizen? If anyone want to get involved.
So the Kaizen or Project Kaizen is a project built off the back of the Kaizen and what it kind of means with the brand and stuff like that. So I'm sure you've heard of like 75 Hard, Project 50 and stuff like that. So it's kind of a twist on that. But when you look at 75 Hard, it's more for just improving yourself. I mean, you have to read books, you have to do a certain amount of workouts, drink a certain amount of water, eat healthy. So it is really improving your physical self. Now, same with Project 50, same thing, just improving your physical self. And I wanted to do a challenge where I could hold myself accountable, which ended up posting on social media, but it helps me grow as an entrepreneur as well as just like physically. Okay. And so we kind of, myself and my team kind of curated these six challenges of what it means to, what can you do every single day that's going to help you scale as an entrepreneur? And that includes things such as improving the body. So doing some kind of workout, whether it's a walk or a run or gym, improving the mind. It could be meditating. It could be reading the Kaizen in the morning. It could be reading a book. Doing something that puts you outside your comfort zone. This could be having a cold shower. And this is kind of creating the discipline effect. Like it could be waking up early. The other thing is sticking to some kind of clean diet that you just stick to. It doesn't have to be crazy. You have to go keto. It's just making sure that you, because you're, what you fuel your body with, of course, has a massive like knock-on effect of how you perform every single day. Another one is making one new connection a week. And that's quite important, especially as a young entrepreneur. It's building your network and stuff like that. And then the last one, I think I'm right in saying, is producing something, which is something that I needed to have in there, because as an entrepreneur or as any person, you either produce or consume, right? And it's the, as I say, it's the producers that make the money and the consumers that make the producers the money. Mm-hmm. So getting into that mindset and that kind of, getting into like the flow of being a producer is huge. Whether it's doing one tweet a day or it's posting a TikTok or it's working on a big business or doing a podcast, just putting something out there that other people can consume is huge. Like starting small, one tweet a day, and you can grow from there. So those are the six rules of Project Kaizen. Every single day, 100 days straight, which it does seem, I mean, people look at them and say, that's easy. I can have a cold shower in the morning. I can read 5 pages of a book. But people will normally give up on day 20. You know, there's a lot of people that have done it that stop posting after day 20. It's like, ah, that's interesting. Because that's when it gets hard. So it's not about the rules. It's about the consistency. It's about doing it every single day. And by the end of the 100 days, you would have produced 100 pieces of content. You would have like improved your mind a lot, whether it's reading books and stuff like that, you would have learned something new. So the idea is that by the 100th day, you have become a better person, a better entrepreneur, a better young aspirational person. Maybe you found your purpose, whatever it is. So it's that kind of, it's kind of a project or a challenge created for that purpose to help you improve physical self, mental self, entrepreneur, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And it was you that came up with this whole concept, right?
It was. I mean, I say that, but my colleague or business partner Peter would hate me because he kind of came up with the idea and I kind of pieced it together. Mm-hmm. But it was like something that us three came up with, and then we just put it into practice. And the fantastic thing was that I started posting about it every single day, and then other people started posting about it as well and like join me on my journey. And I was like, this is something that other people want to do, which is just, you know, it's exciting, something that you've created and other people are devoting 100 days of their life to doing the same thing, which is a pretty incredible feeling.
That's the first time you landed on my For You page, actually.
Was it?
Yeah. I don't know what day it was on, but it was Project Kaizen that was the first time that I saw it. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. And I didn't think it was you that had made it up. I thought it was some other kind of craze that was on the internet that you just, it was like a TikTok thing. Like I didn't, but I was like, I saw it and I was like, oh, that's really cool. And then obviously you kept popping up here, there and everywhere once you like something that someone's done. Yeah, it works. But I think that's quite a cool thing. Like, how far do you feel like you can take it? Because I feel like this is something that, you know, 75 hard is massive.
Yeah.
Like, what is your plan with like Project Kaizen?
So Project Kaizen is just an extension of the Kaizen, which is the kind of movement that we're trying to create. I mean, it's nothing revolutionary, but it's just targeting young entrepreneurs specifically. So it's targeting those people that want to do something with their life. It's targeting the people that want to kind of like sidestep from the stampede, as I say, like get out of like the typical flow and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they could be an athlete.
It's a good
they
analogy, could be an entrepreneur. Actually. Yeah,
yeah. I came up with that. Yeah. So I'm gonna trademark it. it is just, creating your own life, I guess. Yeah. That's the kind of idea. And it's creating like a framework. I mean, the whole idea at the moment is there's the Kaizen newsletter. So you read it every single day and it just helps you kind of get into the mind frame and learn something new that's going to help you push you towards the end goal and that kind of thing. And yeah, we're growing out into loads of different avenues at the moment, communities and stuff like that. But we're still early days, but that's what I'm like, all my time is going into at the moment because I believe in it so much.
Yeah.
We'll see where it goes.
Let's put ourselves in the shoes of maybe a young listener or someone, one of your followers who does Project Kaizen, but like has a bad day.
Yeah.
What would you want to say to that person? Because like we all have bad days. And I think that's one thing that I want to draw back to like talk to when he's like, the only issue I have with like something like this is that we can argue that we're trying to turn ourselves into robots.
Yeah,
and like
yeah,
one
yeah.
of the things we have in our life is that we are unique, we are individuals and stuff like that. So I want to caveat this whole podcast with, we're not robots. You cannot get up and do the exact same thing every single day without having a little bit of variety in there, without actually living. Like that's kind of my view on it. But what would you say for someone who's done the challenge and has had a bad day and has maybe not managed to complete it? What would you say? Because ultimately that doesn't mean it's the end for them, that 100%. They're not going to be able to be a young entrepreneur or anything like that.
No, I completely agree. I would kind of say it's good to have bad days because it means you've had good days. You know, it's the contrast to if everything's going well. If you are like clearly having a bad day, it means that stuff has gone well in the past. And I just think it's a bit of like a statement to how far you've already come. And something that's just quite easy to do is just zoom out the graph a bit. You know, it may seem up, down, up, down, up, down, but when you zoom out the graph and you slowly go up a little bit more each time, you know you're improving. And it's all it's about true. The long game. You know, you can't move mountains in one day. You have to do it over like a very long period of time. And it's kind of setting yourself on that journey to almost committing to having those ups and downs. I probably have more downs than ups, but when you look at it from a very like zoomed out perspective, you know that you're improving, even if it's like the analogy of like 1% every single day, that's fine. Mm-hmm. And it's just about being consistent with it. And consistency doesn't mean you have to smash the day every single day. It means that, you know, you are just proud of yourself for getting to where you are. And then I guess it's kind of saying being better today than you were yesterday, every single day. And mm-hmm. it doesn't mean you have to create a new business every single day. It just means reading one more page of a book, right? And just going one step every single day. But bad days are good. Bad days show that you've had good days. It's the contrast that I think people look at and go, oh, like everything's going wrong. Well, that means everything's gone right in the past. So stuff mm-hmm. has clearly been made progress.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. One of the things we love to talk about on the podcast is the fact that like failure is good.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know, going through failures and kind of having, you know, challenges that we faced and we've messed up on. We learned mm-hmm. so much from that. Is there something that you know, I know you're very early on into your 20s, you're like 6 months in, but is there anything even before that, that you kind of feel like you completely, not failed at, but you kind of really struggled with and then, but you learned a big lesson from?
100%. Yeah. I mean, it's annoying because failure isn't talked about on social media and I don't help with that. I don't go like, I mean, I do sometimes, but I don't help with that and go like, guys, today's been an awful day, because it's not what you want to see.
No.
And like,
we're guilty of hiding this.
Exactly. It's kind of an ego thing as well. If you tell people you've done bad today, then it just doesn't reflect well on your brand. But I'll say it now, you are meant to have bad days as part of it. I mean, the biggest failure I probably had was when I was doing my social media management gig. I think everything built up to like, it was probably about £4,000 or £5,000 a month with like restaurants and online and freelance and stuff like that. And I lost all my clients within like a week. It was like weird. It felt like someone had told them all something about me and they were like, right, I'm done.
But
it was more, no, that didn't happen, but it was more just
it
like,
felt that way.
It was just a coincidence. And it was because I wasn't like properly delivering the service or I wasn't like going above and beyond, but it put me back to ground zero where I then had no monthly income. And I was again, an 18-year-old that had the opportunity to go to uni and, you know, your people around you are kind of looking at you. And once you've got to that point where everything's gone well, and then you go back down, you don't want to tell anyone that you've gone back down. You don't want to tell anyone that you failed, because it, you know, it creates that bad image where people look at you and go, maybe it was just a fluke then. Mm. I had like a business. I was like, this is going to be amazing. All failed literally very, very quickly. But the way I kind of got around that was I adapted. I was like, okay, cool. This has happened. And I made a video about it ages ago. And I was like, I'm almost glad, because I know I couldn't have been doing this forever. I knew there had to be a change somewhere. And it meant I had to adapt. I had to look at what are the skills I had, what I was good at, what other people needed. And then that's when I started the influence pooling side of things. And I was like, I'm grateful for it now. So, you know, failures, when you have a failure, it's heartbreaking. Everything's going wrong. The world's crumbling around you. But I just kind of look at it in the future and look back and go, it's, you know, it's kind of the, it's failure and then success on the other side. You don't have success and a failure. You have to go through it. It's part of the process. It's a good thing. Welcome it. And then you learn lessons from it and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would say. But it's part of it. Same thing with having bad days.
It's a certain amount of resilience that you need as well. Mm. When something like that happens, you're like, oh, like, you know, you feel like your world's been flipped upside down. Mm. And you have to kind of be like really resilient to go, okay, like 100%. I'm going to pick myself back up. I'm going to figure out what my next steps are. And I think like the more, if you're not resilient, you can't really do anything.
100%.
Like,
it's just a perspective thing as well. I think because when you fail, everything is telling you that like people's other opinions have been proved to be true and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It takes everything within you to say, I'm just going to keep going and see what happens. So it's almost like when I do fail, I look at it as like I've just created like a little point in my timeline that's like taught me something new. It's almost like creating one where you go a different direction now. And I just think it's quite exciting. And it's easy for someone to watch this and go, oh, you know, he's saying failure is exciting, but you know, everything's going wrong for me. That's fine. You have to kind of hit that rock bottom sometimes to go back up. So
yeah,
part of the process. That's all I can say.
It's
horrible
that.
To hear, because people don't want to hear that. They just want to hear everything's going to be like dandy woo and everything's going to go well. So yeah, this is something that needs to be talked more about. I feel like.
Our generation don't watch the news, we don't read newspapers, and we don't listen to the radio. We consume things differently. We get fed information all the time, but only in bits and pieces, never the full story. And who knows what's accurate? But there's so many important matters going on in the world that we never want to be uninformed or ignorant. I recently subscribed to The Knowledge, a free daily newsletter that takes just 5 minutes to read and helps me make sense of the news. Their team of editors read hundreds of trusted media sources from around the world, so I don't have to question the accuracy of where I get my news. The team and I love it, and we wanted to share that with you guys in case you were feeling the same way as us. It's completely free, and you can sign up at www.theknowledge.com/talk20s. Yeah, because like we're so guilty of not showing those failures on social media, so people think we don't have them. Mm-hmm. But like, it's actually how you handle those failures that actually get you back up and
100%.
And working again. The other thing we like to talk about in podcasts is that nobody's perfect. Like everyone could kind of look at your socials and be like, oh my God, I want to be just like Callum, right? Like he's amazing. I want to live his life. I want to be an entrepreneur just like him. But like we know from like doing this and you know from where you started out mm-hmm. that like no one's perfect and everyone is working on improving themselves in some kind of way. I know you're like the embodiment of that. For you, what in your life are you trying to get better at? Are you trying to work on for yourself?
Yeah, what am I trying to work on? I'm trying to work on... personally, at the moment, I'm trying to work on like public speaking and stuff like that.
Okay.
Doing these podcasts is one thing, but like I was saying, I did the Belfast talk. Speaking in front of like 80 like university students is terrifying. Like mm-hmm. it is absolutely terrifying. And it's something I want to do more, but it's something I'm just not the best at. It's like, it's a whole different thing because everything goes out of your mind, like click, everything's gone and you're almost just like winging it. Like, yeah, I think it's just important to remember that people only post on social media what they want to post on social media. Mm. I know a lot of people who have these like luscious lives and they don't have the luscious lives. They just post the luscious lives.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you do that because that's how you want other people to see you. No one wants other people to see them as like, not everything's going well. You're having bad days and stuff like that. But I guess the people that do post that, you kind of build more trust with them. So it's not a bad thing to do. But yeah, at the moment, that's something I'm working on, trying to public speak more because it didn't go badly, but I wasn't like happy with it at the end. Okay. I was like, God, I could have said so much more. Yeah. I could have done this differently. So that's the kind of thing that I'm working on at the moment. That's the focus.
Can I give you a zoom out moment though?
Go for it.
You just got asked to speak at a university, right?
Yeah.
And you haven't even gone to university.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm sure the people in the room are like, they're paying £9,000 to be there and you've not even gone to university. So for you, that should be like, I know like you might want to have got better at your public speaking, but like, you know, you'd have probably never have thought that was the case at 17, you know, when you were leaving school, thinking I'm not going to go to university. Oh, but in literally 2.5 years time, I'm going to be asked to come and speak and give a lecture at university.
100%. I just knew that there had to be a, there was going to be a bad first time sometime.
Exactly.
I had to do it once, like for the first time.
Your first
time,
podcast
eventually.
Is bad. Your first email mm-hmm. is bad. Your first post on social media is bad. But you don't get to do your 100th or your best one if you don't do the 100%. Bad ones first. Mm-hmm. You kind of just have to get it out the way.
Yeah, you do. You do. Go back to first pieces of content and stuff like that. There has to be a bad start to get to where you want to be.
If you go back and listen to the first episode of the Talk 20s podcast, I say absolutely about 45,000 times.
Yeah.
My mum and dad listened to it because obviously they were like my only listeners at the time, mm-hmm. not in their 20s, obviously. And they were like, it was really good, but you did say absolutely a lot of times. Yeah. And so now I'm like, I probably still say it because it's my figure of speech, but I know how to do a podcast 10 times better. But like, if I hadn't started and just put it out there, we'd have never got anywhere.
Yeah.
So yeah.
100%.
Callum, it's been amazing to have you on the podcast.
Thank you.
I am in awe of what you've been able to do and achieve by the age of 20. And I just can't imagine where you'll be by the time we, you know, this podcast, you know, supposed to help people through their 20s. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine where you'll be at 30, probably taking over the world or something like that. But it's been amazing to have you here. Thank you so much for making the trip up. We always end the podcast with just one key piece of advice that you would want to tell your 20-year-old self, which for you wasn't a very long time ago. Mm-hmm. But if you could literally just say just one piece of advice that you would give them to kind of see yourself through your 20s, what do you live by? What's your mantra?
My mantra? One thing I would say, because it helped me out a lot, was like the idea of just taking the risk. And it's so cliche. And if I was watching me say this, I'd be like, shut up, that everyone says that. But it's the idea that, especially as a young person, you can take like a ridiculous amount of risk. You know, you have that advantage like over people that are older than you and more successful than you, because they probably couldn't take the risk that you can. Because if they took the risk and failed, it would be detrimental to them. Whereas mm-hmm. you can take the risk, fail 50 times over and gain experience from it. So whether that risk is starting to post on Twitter, whether it's posting content, whether it's starting a business that has a 90% chance of failure, whatever it is, mm-hmm. take the risk and you'll learn something from it. Because I think a lot of people are scared to do that. I get emails all the time where it's like, they won't take risks because they're scared what their friends will think of them.
Yeah.
They won't take risks because they're scared that they'll fail, of course. But you have to take that jump. Almost, you can, you know, say like, get rid of your plan B as well. Just give yourself one plan A. And plan
that A feels scary. Even I'm going, oh my God.
Yeah, and if plan A doesn't work, create a new plan A.
You know,
if you keep giving yourself plan Bs and stuff, it's not as much risk as you could take. Mm-hmm. And I think when you look at any successful entrepreneur, they took a ridiculous amount of risk. So that's all I would say, whether you're 18, whether you're 25, take the risk now because you're only going to get older. You're only going to have more responsibility. You're only going to be like less risk adverse. So take it whilst you can. And something's bound to come out of it, whether it's a failure that you learn from or a success, something will come out of it. It's just that, you know, it's the risk that you could possibly take versus not taking any and staying where you are. That's the kind of way I look at it. So take the risk. Maybe I should print that out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What risk are you going to take in the next 12 months?
I mean, the Kaizen's a massive risk at the moment. I'm sort of like putting everything into it. And I've said it a few times, but the Kaizen hasn't made any money and it probably won't make any money for a while, although I'm funneling quite a lot into it. So that's my kind of like big risk at the moment.
Okay.
But it's like what I said earlier, having that like unwavering belief in like that something will come out of it. I could fail, the Kaizen could fail. It would be heartbreaking because I've put like a year of my life into it, but I know that whether it succeeds or it doesn't, something will come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Lessons something will come out of it. And that's what like, I'm looking forward to.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Callum. It's been amazing to have you on the podcast. If you guys have loved listening to this episode of the Talk 20s podcast, please do subscribe or follow, leave us a 5-star review and come back next week for another episode.